This is podtech.net. I'm Catherine Girardot here at Java One in San Francisco's Moscone Center. On Tuesday, May 16th, we went to the Mobility General Session put on by Sun Microsystems. It's hosted by Alan Brenner, VP Client Systems Group at Sun Microsystems. The session's theme was simplicity and innovation, where the market is today, and what developers can do with Java and mobile devices. In part one of the podcast, you'll hear from businesses using Java technology and application on various portable devices.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chief Researcher, Sun Microsystems, John Gage.
Thank you. Well, apparently mobile devices are important. Did that seem to be the message you just saw? There are a lot of them, and they're all over the place, and I just had the strangest experience about 8 minutes ago as I was walking over here from Graham Hamilton and Bill Shannon's talk, the EE and the SE talks. They, of course, said go hear about ME from Alan Brenner. The phone rang, and a slightly crackly voice, who, as it turns out, is the guy that owns Rwandatel and is putting enormous mobility throughout one of the world's poorest countries. He's got EVDO running at a megabit and a half anywhere in the capital city of in Kigali in Rwanda, which San Francisco would love to be able to do but can't yet. And the guy that, so here's the guy on the phone, but where are you, Greg Weiler? I'm in a Lufthansa plane flying across Russia because I'm coming from Beijing where my suppliers are, some of whose names are up there. You're on the plane over Russia and you're calling me. How are you doing this? Lufthansa's implemented IP, so I'm doing VoIP. I'm in the bathroom doing VoIP across my machine to the satellite, to you in the basement in Java 1. I said, you must be joking. No, and then at the moment he said that, there was a knock on the bathroom door in the plane flying over Russia, and the stewardess said, you've got to get off the cell phone. And he said, I'm not on the cell phone, I'm on the internet. And this conversation, so anything we dream about, no matter how weird we dream about, it's going to come true and in unexpected ways. And to tell you about all that, and presumably with the biggest bag of tricks and interesting devices that we just saw, Alan Brenner will tell you where ME is going. Please, come, Alan.
Thank you. So, welcome everyone to the Mobility General Session here at Java 1, 2006. And the theme for our talk today is simplicity in innovation. And see, it was about 8 years ago, in 1998, Java ME was basically a two-person project in Sun Labs. It later landed at Java 1 in 1999 as a demonstration technology on the Palm. And here we are today with about 1.2 billion Java-enabled mobile phones, 5 million Java-enabled TV set-top boxes, you know, millions of other embedded devices with Java ME technology in them. It's really, you know, quite a journey. And, you know, we've learned over the years that to drive adoption and use of the platform, you know, we have to balance the introduction and promotion of new technology through the Java community process. But we also need to focus on keeping the platform very simple, as simple as possible, but no simpler, consistent, and with excellent tools and support in order to make it easy for all of you, for the developers around the world, to be successful in building applications that are going to be useful to end users and easy to maintain and grow with. So to get at that problem, we've learned we have to balance simplicity and innovation. And you're going to see through today's presentation a number of initiatives to achieve consistency, to achieve simplicity, to support with better tools, but also to bring to market really compelling, interesting technology. And as John says, we're going to show you a lot of very cool stuff. We have a whole slew of demos lined up that should keep this session pretty entertaining and pretty exciting. So the talk is, you know, divided into a few topics. We're going to start by doing a quick review of where the market is today and to show you what you can do with the Java platform in mobile devices. And we're also going to give you a picture of the kind of businesses that have emerged to take advantage of those opportunities. And they're pretty interesting and innovative approaches to applications and application distribution in the market. And we have three or four guest speakers who are going to come up in that section to talk about what they're doing. Then we're going to move to what's coming next and focus first on the mobile services architecture platform, JSR 248, tell you about what you can do with that, what are the capabilities in the platform, and show you some demonstrations of those capabilities. And then we're going to move to what's coming after MSA, new technologies that are near completion or not too far around the corner, and show you some examples of how those things can be used by developers and what you can do based on those technologies. Finally, we're going to show you how the mobile Java ME application market and platforms are actually helping drive new generation of converged services across markets, so between mobile and set-top boxes, for example, and give you a feel for the kind of combined services that you can produce based on the technologies that are available. So with that, let's get started. I want to start by doing a quick review of where we are in the market today and what you can do with the Java ME platform in the mobile market in particular. So the most important thing to know about where we are is that Java ME has been an incredible engine for the distribution of downloadable games. There are literally tens of thousands of Java ME compatible games for mobile devices. They're all around the world. They are, in many cases, incredibly compelling and distracting. I'm sure those of you with kids know what I mean. You watch your child stare at their phone for hours on end. But we also have moved beyond mobile games. We have many applications out there that provide social networking, collaboration, even office productivity. And we also have information-based applications, infotainment, restaurant access, ticketing, that sort of thing. Really a really compelling broad array of diverse applications that make this a $2.5 billion market in 2005. And growing at a very rapid rate. And we've got there by not only the innovation that came with, in particular, the MIDP2 platform, but also we've gotten there by a number of initiatives to help you, the developer, take advantage of this platform without unending confusion or complexity. And I just want to spend a few minutes talking about those initiatives. First of all, several years ago, we completed in the Java community process a standard called the Java Technology for the Wireless Industry, or JTWI. And this platform provided guidance to manufacturers and developers for a consistent core platform that they could build applications to and deliver the application with confidence that it would run on many or most mobile phones. Secondly, we launched a program called Java Verified. Java Verified is a global application test program that allows you, the developer, to get your application tested so that you can be confident that it will run on the compatible Java ME application implementations in the market. The second last thing we did is the Java Device Test Suite. Java Device Test Suite provides a comprehensive set of tests so that manufacturers can verify that their phones are compatible with the standard. And finally, with the NetBeans open source IDE for those of you that were in the general sessions this morning, you've seen quite a few demos of NetBeans. You'll see many more in this session. But NetBeans provides a profile capability so that developers building to the Java ME platform can get real-time feedback on the consistency between the application they're building and the specific phones that they intend to target in the market. So really quite a few programs and capabilities that we have worked with the industry to bring to market to ensure that it's easy for developers to have confidence that they can deliver their application broadly across the available phones. So now what I'd like to do is invite Nandini Ramani to the stage to help me make this a little bit more vivid, give you some demonstrations of what we can do.
Hi, Alan.
So Nandini, welcome. So Nandini's going to be helping me for much of the session with many of the demos, so she'll be up here quite a bit.
Okay, so this is from Groove Mobile, and it's a music store brought to your phone. It's a Java midlet running on MIDP. And you can go to the store, you can pick songs that you want to look at, it loads the song, and then it'll preview. You can either preview the song or play it. The song, and it says this song is already there, so it's not letting me buy it because it's already there. So I could go back to the music store and then pick songs that I don't have yet. For instance, something that's on tour.
What about Black Eyed Peas?
Well, if that's what I know you like, Black Eyed Peas. So I'm going to take you
okay,
here.
Good.
I already downloaded this just for you, Alan. So here it is.
Okay. So this is a music download service that is available on a number of carriers, I guess.
Yes.
U.S. carriers.
Yes, it is. And it also lets you search for songs if you don't know what you like. If you want to see what's out there, you can go search for music. And I can type, say, I know ABBA is another favorite for you, or so I heard.
Oh, yeah, it's my other favorite band.
So then I go there and say search all, and it's actually searching for all the albums that exist, so it's bringing that up.
I have all those.
You already have all those, so yes. So that's a music store right on your phone. You can buy music,
play
it. So
that's way beyond games.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you, Nandini. So next I'd like to invite Oke Akaru to the stage. Oke is the architect for Mobile ESPN. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, you like the gear?
Yeah, you look good.
Okay, thanks.
You look good.
Okay, good. So tell us about Mobile ESPN.
Well, for all of you who don't know, Mobile ESPN launched a national service earlier on this year in February. It's an MVNO, which stands for Mobile Virtual Network Operator, running on Sprint's network. And the key value proposition is around delivering a service that's tailored specifically to the needs of sports fans.
So these are like serious sports fans.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not only for diehard, avid sports fans. It's also for casual sports fans too.
Okay.
And it enables people to connect with the, you know, whatever is of interest to them in the sporting world in a way that you frankly can't connect with anywhere else today, even online.
So if I want anything, any information about a sporting event,
that
Mobile
is
ESPN will make it easy for me to get at it.
That is correct. Around the major sports and sporting events in the U.S., there's absolutely nothing that you can't find on the phone.
Pistons and Cavs, Detroit up 2-1 in the series. Rasheed Wallace guaranteed a victory in game 4 and said that the series was over. But in the fourth, the Pistons found themselves down 4 until Tayshaun Prince connects on the 3-ball. That gets Motown back to within a point. A little over 2 minutes to play. LeBron James goes off the dribble and off the glass. Cavaliers back in front by a pair. He had a team-high 22. Under 15 ticks to go. James off the mark on the jumper. So Detroit with a chance, down by 2 with 8 seconds to go. Richard Hamilton, who had 30 points, won't add to it here. He can't connect. Everyone gets their hands on it. Goes out of bounds on Detroit. Cleveland ball and the Cleveland win. They even the series at 2 games apiece, 74-72.
So there you go.
I love it. And I love the fact that they proved Wallace wrong.
Yeah, we have a video of that too. But
that's cool. So this looks like a really immersive, like it's a complete phone experience for the sports fans.
Yes, so from an experience perspective, we had four objectives. We wanted to make sure that it was extremely easy to use. We also wanted to make sure that it's very, very, very highly intuitive, something that you don't need to pick up a manual to figure out how to really use it. We also wanted to make sure that it's extremely responsive. We just didn't want people sitting around waiting for things loading and other things like that. And last but not least, we wanted to also make it such that, you know, you don't have to click many times to get access to what you care about. In addition, of course, to making it a very highly personalized experience.
So can you just comment on how did the JavaME platform help you address those objectives?
Yeah, so we use the full gamut of JSRs that are available to us. In addition to, given the fact that we're running on Sprint's network, we have access to some of Sprint's proprietary extensions. We also had the Sprint Muglets, which we used. And then in one or two cases, like in the case of the button on the phone, we just had a midlet hardwired to that button. But, you know, JavaME, the entire experience is built in JavaME. About 5% of it or so for just some general settings we do in WAP.
So in going through that, what did you find that could be, you know, more effective? Are there things that looks to me like you're stretching the program the platform pretty hard here.
Right.
What are some of the things you saw that could be a bit more effective?
Okay, so we got started with this project in early 2004. So if you guys remember back to then, there was no VCast, there were really very few multimedia cell phones, and you know, we set out to get all this done without an idea of whether or not we'd be able to do it. So in realizing this goal and being able to implement it with JavaME, there's some challenges that we did encounter. One is the fact that we have multiple midlets on the device, and you know, we needed a way to multitask and seamlessly integrate them. And the second is there's some services that we would like on the client side to be able to expose to people who are building applications that run on our phone.
Well, cool. Thanks. Okay. I think if you stay tuned for the rest of the talk, we'll see some stuff about multitasking that could be very helpful.
Great.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
Okay, so next I'm going to show you a couple different, invite Ray Anderson to the stage. Welcome, Ray. We're going to go through, Ray is the Chief Executive Officer of Bango. And Bango is a six-year-old company. Ray founded and has recently IPO'd. And maybe you can tell us about Bango.
At the heart of Bango is quite core to your talk today. We're all about getting innovations out into this amazing market that's been created on mobile. Hundreds of millions of mobile users. How do they get the greatest innovations that they might be interested in?
So how does Bango help developers bring innovation to market?
If you've got a proven application with some sort of, you know, people can understand what you're all about, you can find maybe mobile operators or carriers or aggregators who'll take your product to market and do all the selling for you. But if you're at the earlier stages where you've just got a great idea and you want to see if it's going to work, you need a way of just getting it out to the people, direct to the people, and you know, on your terms, your product, your pricing, your business model. And we have a system that lets you do that.
So carriers have a hard time identifying, you know, the highly productive applications. And so they may miss interesting applications, but you help developers get to market even if their carrier's not ready to consider their application.
That's right. So we've seen some really bizarre examples of little applications that have sold, you know, in the thousands or tens of thousands,
right,
that nobody would have ever believed in.
So if I'm a developer and I have an application and I want to get it to market, how do I do it?
Okay, well, very simple process. You go to bango.com. First of all, actually, you put it on the internet on a site somewhere.
You have to host it
on a site. You've got to host it somewhere.
Yeah.
That's up to you. And then you go to bango.com, you register the application where you've hosted it, you set a price if you want to sell it, and then I'll maybe cover in a moment, but you basically sit back and then people come to your application. We collect the money for you from users of hundreds of operators worldwide, and we tell you where they've come from. We basically sort out all the hard graft that you'd normally get an operator to do, and you hopefully sit back and benefit from the success of your application.
So the developer really has, you know, complete control over how the application is marketed, how it's priced,
That's
and
right.
how it's presented.
That's right. So you might make it free in some countries, expensive in others. You might might experiment with different business models for selling
right.
it.
You right.
might do two for one. You might hook it with another application. All sorts of interesting things you might want to try out.
And once the application is available for sale, how does the consumer find it? How do they get at the application?
That's a good question. Without anyone actually doing the hard marketing graft for you, you've got
right.
a little bit, guerrilla marketing comes into play.
Right.
So when you register with Bango.com, you can set effectively tags or keywords with your application, and we push those tags, and we make sure that the major mobile search engines like Yahoo and Motion Bridge, which is the Microsoft one, will discover your site. So if anyone's interested in your particular area and they type search terms in, there's a good chance that your application will pop up and be discovered. Another thing we do is that java.com is a very, very popular site, as you know. Millions
yeah.
of people are visiting
yeah,
java.com.
So we have that up on display.
That's right. And this is java.com's little sister, mobile.java.com. And if you have interesting games and you can get them Java verified, they can be uploaded onto here. And people who visit mobile.java.com will find your applications, try them out, and buy them from you.
Does help achieve super distribution.
That's right. In fact, if you go to Bango.com, you'll see there's some little tools so that if you have a page on your site, you can put things in like send to a friend, where the user who likes your app, and obviously hopefully they will type their friend's phone number in, and we will push a link to your application to their phone so that you get this sort of super distribution. We've got some brilliant examples of success in that area.
That's great. Well, thanks.
Okay. Thanks very much, Alan.
Thanks for coming. So that gives you one example of an interesting new business model that has emerged, in the presence of the distribution of the Java platform in the market and the maturity of the platform and the volume of applications that are now available. I want to give you another example, and to do that, I want to invite Patrick Perotti to the stage. Patrick's the Chief Marketing Officer for Amobi. He's also the Chairman of the Mobile Entertainment Forum, which is an industry body promoting the entertainment business in the mobile market. Welcome.
How you doing, Alan?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
So, Patrick, tell us what Amobi is doing and what's the problem it's trying to address in the market for mobile.
First, I'd like to mention that this is Amobi's first public engagement. Our logo is a little bee, which hopefully you'll start seeing more often. Amobi is a company that was set up a year ago with two VCs here from the Valley, Sequoia and Excel,
right.
Brought together some engineers from both the mobile side of the world and the ad-serving web side of the world. And as chairman of the MEF...
Using the internet and mobile.
Absolutely. As chairman yeah. of the MEF, I know that there's now a mobile entertainment industry. The mobile has become, thanks to the Java platform in particular, a rich media, user-centric experience. It is now a medium.
Right.
Yet it's the only medium in the world today that has zero level of ad fundedness. You as consumers, we as users of mobile applications, are stuck paying for 100% of the bill, whether
right.
it's for messaging, voice, Java applications,
right.
WAP browsing, music, video, all the things that are happening, games. We're really stuck paying for everything. So what Amobi's principle is, and the media system that we're putting in place, is the way to create an environment where brands, through interstitial insertions that are targeted, contextual, personalized, location-based, can actually help fund the development of these applications to really drive the growth of Java applications on handsets globally.
And this should be given the size of the market, right, the number of devices out there, this should be very attractive to advertisers.
Absolutely. I mean, clearly the advertising, the $100 billion that are spent in this market alone on advertising above the line is waiting for an opportunity to address this market. I think it needs to be addressed in a completely different way. First of all, it needs to be permission-based. I think as users, as mobile users, since we are used to paying for everything, we don't want to take that away
right.
as a market, $16 billion made in mobile entertainment today. But there are ways to actually bring in this additional lift to this market, whether it's for messaging or games, which is the demo that we're going to see, that's going to require the advertisers to work in a way that's intelligent and that the users will accept.
Maybe we should do the demo, and then I'd like to hear about how the developers get at this.
Sure, Nandini's helping me out. She's an expert at Tetris, and in order to be able to play this game, this is not a demo, this is an actual commercial service that's live, up and running. and the game is actually being subsidized by the brands that are interstitially inserted. So if we go ahead and launch the game to play Tetris, you'll see that before you actually play the game, you get served an ad, and you have the option to look at options or just play the game, and we'll just go ahead and look and see what are the options that are embedded in this interstitial, and they can be information on that particular brand, information on the stores, and you can click through and obviously engage with that ad, maybe go to another website and deliver another type of Java application, or you can simply go ahead and play the game and this ecosystem.
So one more time, so how does this help the end user, the consumer of the games?
So the consumer, you know, basically, you know, I don't know how much you guys are paying for your monthly bill today, you know, with you know, things like ESPN Mobile and things like Groove Mobile and you know, Bango's ability to allow you to directly market your product. Consumers are paying a lot for their mobile
right,
bill.
Right.
And, you know, they've reached saturation point.
Right.
So what we see is really providing a new uplift to the entire market and really help drive massive adoption of Java applications.
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.